Oh my God, this is already out of control here.
This is awesome.
Time out.
No timeouts. We're out the air.
We're on the air now, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to set some protocol. You know, it's like I'm allowed to take a bong hit at any point.
Definitely,
no problem at all. Totally no problem.
It could be like without even a second's notice, you can do.
All right,
that.
I'm settling into my gigantic leather comforter. Oh, I love it.
Everybody, this is Ghostly Talk, and I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And we're here, obviously, with a guest on.
Yeah, this is...
this is the most incredible amount of pre-show publicity I've seen ever, because we're getting emails. We got emails forwarded from other people.
Yeah, it's been completely crazy here all week. And, you know, growing up as a child, you know, as far as myself, being a music fan, right... In about 1988, 1989, there came this band out of nowhere, basically, that put on the wildest, most out of control.
I thought they were from the pits of the depths of the earth.
Well, apparently they're from Antarctica.
Oh, Antarctica, okay.
Yes. I never saw something like this in my entire life. The band I'm talking about is a band called Gwar. Okay, which a lot of people, I'm sure millions of people out there are familiar with the name, familiar with the most out-of-control stage show you'll ever see in your entire life. I don't know how it happened, but apparently Odorous Urungus / Dave was nice enough to come on the show and talk to us for some reason. And Dave, you're obviously there. You're settled into your comfy chair already?
The comfy chair, the most insidious of Monty Python tortures.
How the hell are you, Dave? This is just, I'm blown away. I'm really blown away. Thank you for coming on the show. How are you?
I'm damn great. I just went out to lunch,
mm-hmm.
and someone else paid for it.
Oh, that rocks. Hey, I had to pay for my own lunch. It was $6.99 plus tax, and I was so ticked.
I had to pay for my...
I got a killer BLT for $5.99, but as I said, someone else paid for it. And now I'm on your show, and my good buddy here... It's feeding me bong hits as we do these.
That's totally right.
So we're,
I hear that your all show is like a paranormal show. You like to talk about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I got all kinds of opinions about everything. So, you know.
We'll be good to go.
We
get a lot of interview requests, and I do a lot of interviews, and it's rare that I'm actually looking forward to one. And, I wasn't really looking forward to tonight. I mean,
of course not.
All right.
Especially
okay.
When I realized when I was eating lunch that someone else was paying for it, that the interview was in 15 minutes. I was only on my third Bloody Mary. But no, I overcame that and got my ass home, and now I'm in the chair, and I am at your disposal.
Rock on. Thank you so much. Well, I don't know if you know this, Dave, or not. But Ghostly Talk is live on Sunday night. How was that for a segue?
That's a hell of a segue.
That was an awesome segue.
Awesome segue.
Ghostly Talk is live on Sunday nights from 6 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Uh-huh.
And we're broadcast live out of the haunted Warren Winery.
Yes, here in beautiful Warren, Michigan.
Beautiful Warren, Michigan. Even though it's been fair, the weather has been fair here,
mm-hmm.
I've been bitter cold all day. I don't know why. It's been terrible.
You're a cold person. That's why.
That's true. My cold heart. Yes.
The dwells in your cold heart.
And we're also carried live on many radio stations and internet stations throughout the land.
I forgot my list again.
I don't have my list either, but I know that aren't they all linked?
They're all on the site. They're all on the site.
Our website, www.ghostlytalk.com.
Which you can see is brand new, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We redid our website. It's empty right now. Fill it up, guys.
Fill it up.
It's there for.
So if I go online right now, can I hear my own interview?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. It's going to sound kind of weird on the phone.
It'll be a minute away, though.
What's that?
It won't be that weird thing like when you get your interview on the radio and they're like, turn your radio down.
Well, that's because you'll be hearing yourself a minute delay on the internet.
Yeah.
So it'll be like, oh, wow, I said that?
Didn't that War of the Worlds movies suck?
Yeah. A minute later, everyone will
suck
hear that.
Or what? First of all, why did Tom Cruise have the only car that worked? I mean, I know there was this like thing where he went to the garage. But that's not enough, like, pre-positioning for me.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got that annoying kid, and then there's Jim Robbins in the basement trying to molest her. What the hell was that all about? Since when did Jim Robbins only take roles of, like, crusty, child molesting freaks, like Mystic River. I mean, he used to be the player. Now he's the dude in Steven Spielberg's basement.
Oh right, God, right. Dude. Well, you know, that's where you get relegated to after a while.
I'm just here to tell you guys that movie. I mean, I don't know if you guys liked it. You didn't like that movie, did you?
I wasn't too fond of it myself, but I'm being not because I'm talking to, you know, older Jurungus slash Dave of Guar, but I really didn't like the film myself either. I just thought it the plot was weak and the whole thing was not put together very well. It just I'm not big on big explosions and stuff like that. I like to see.
And Tom Cruise obviously has lost his mind.
I know, we were just, it's funny you mentioned
drag on Tom Cruise, but like, who could help it at this point?
It's funny you mentioned Tom Cruise because we were talking when I was at lunch earlier. We were talking about somebody. One of our friends said that if Tom Cruise came to him and said, "I want to be with your wife, you know, I want to spend the night with your wife," this guy said he would let his wife do that. He didn't care.
That's kind of like that weird movie with Demi Moore and Robert Redford.
Yeah, yeah, like, was it Indecent Proposal? That's what we were talking about. And I said
like,
to my
girl, like Demi Moore would go to bed with Woody Harrelson anyway.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But, okay, check it out, guys. If you're Demi Moore and you're presented with Robert Redford and Woody Harrelson, it's just like, I mean, they both suck.
I think you'd have more fun with Woody, though, if you were Demi. I don't know.
But if you were Demi Moore and you were hooking up with Robert Redford, he could have sex with you with one of his moles.
Well, I stated that, you know, okay, this guy said that he wouldn't care. I'm like, there's no money involved with this at all. You would let your wife be with Tom Cruise for a night, and
well,
that's
you
can
probably write a book or get a National Enquirer.
Well, I basically said, I mean, I looked at Ambrose and said, if some guy came to you, I'd just kick his ass, basically. If Tom Cruise came to me, Tom Cruise is just a little guy anyways. He isn't a very big guy, so, you know, and Amber's like, I think you can take him, Scott. I'm like, I can take him, I'm putting the wager to Tom Cruise right now, man. I'm like, don't come to my girlfriend asking to spend the night with her. I have to agree, though, Dave, I wasn't big on War of the Worlds either. You want to touch on...
I just thought, you know, because it was the whole, like, paranormal, you know, alien show that I would, like, break the ice with making a really stupid comment about it.
Well, there's even worse out there, though.
Oh, God, here
there's
it comes.
There's even
here
worse out there. White Noise was supposed to be, like, this most amazing thing. And that's the one with, I don't even remember who the guy was.
Michael Keaton,
yeah.
Who, of course, started out as Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
Ended up being the White Noise.
Or Clean and Sober. He was Clean and Sober for a while,
he was Clean and
too.
Sober. And so, but he ended up in White Noise. And that movie just absolutely, it really hit every wrong nerve in me.
I don't know anything about it. I mean,
it was so bad. Don't even bother.
Well, Dave, there's this thing in the field of paranormal studies that's called EVP, okay, which stands for electronic voice phenomena. And that's the capturing of voices on tape that aren't there to the human ears.
And what's interesting is even in the recording industry, in the recording industry, there are indeed cases where who was the band out? Were they in L.A. or
oh, I
San
totally
Fran?
Forgot. Now.
They had this studio that was actually built into an old, like, I guess it used to be a mom and pop corner store kind of thing, and the studio was built into that. Well, they kept getting when they were recording their songs, and this is a very very famous band. I can't even think of it now. There would be these things, these noises in the recording that they. Voices.
Oh, are you talking about Negative Land?
I don't know.
I know. I'm familiar with that band, but I don't know if they...
It's not them. It's a different one. But they had these voices on the record that they didn't put there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just said, well, we got to release it. So they released it.
Saying that their recording was haunted?
Basically. The place was haunted, and the ghosts were putting voices on there... in their recordings, which, of course, was music that ended up... Oh, that was back in the LP days, when everything came on these large black plastic discs.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember that shit.
Yeah.
So do I. That's Dayton and Dayton.
That was before VCRs, wasn't it?
Right, yeah. That was even before VCRs.
That was before the
beta/VHS thing.
And then they went to CDs, and they were like, these CDs are so cool, you can fry an egg on them.
Yeah.
And I tried that, and the CD melted.
Did you ever put a CD in the microwave?
Oh, I've never done it myself.
Put a CD. Don't put one of yours in. Don't put one that you value. But, but like, burn Ghostly Talk to a CD. Then put it upside down, throw it into a microwave, but put it on low power. Don't put it on high power. It actually...
That,
makes a light
show.
That's
very true. It's like if you listen, if you take like the average pop CD, like Christina Aguilera CD, a Britney Spears CD, a Jessica Simpson CD.
Those should go in the microwave.
Put it into a microwave or even, let's say, a toaster oven or a toaster.
Oh, cool.
Generally, yeah. Or even just throwing it into a pile in the yard and setting it on fire.
Right.
Generally, they sound a lot better doing than that.
I have to agree.
I absolutely agree.
Well, what is the trip with that? I mean, when's it going to end? When's it going to end? We're on that
it's
now.
It's not going to end. I mean, if it wasn't for these people, we wouldn't have anything to make fun of. Every time I see somebody like Jessica Simpson, I'm just like, that's cool because it's wonderful. I mean, these people, oh, my God. I mean, just like, if we didn't have stuff to ridicule, where would we be, guys?
Right.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it would be a lot less fun, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's plenty of cannon fodder out there, obviously, to especially in the music industry.
Do we have iTunes on that computer?
And it'll always be that way.
Yeah,
so it doesn't surprise me that music sucks so bad, you know?
It really does.
One thing that these acts have done that my act never has done is sell millions of records. And that to me is like, it's almost like if WAR ever really did achieve commercial success, it would take away from, I don't know, our integrity in a weird way. It's like, sure, we've tried to sell out WAR like 1,000 times and we can't. We created something that was so bloodstained and horrible and mutated. You know, every time we try to like do something that's even vaguely commercial, it just comes off as a parody of trying to be that way.
Even Disney wouldn't
so
take
it. We dug our own crypt. And we moved into it, and we're going to live there in undead splendor forever.
Well,
well, no, and you know,
if you want to have like an hour of total absolute hilarity and fun,
yeah,
just go to iTunes because we don't have it on this computer, so I can't do it now.
Yeah,
but I was in iTunes a couple days in the past, like 4 or 5 days, and I because Ghostly Talk has a little tiny corner of iTunes.
Yeah,
it's the corner that nobody goes to.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's still a corner, and
it's haunted.
Right,
it's the haunted corner
of iTunes.
Yeah.
And I was on there, and when you first come up in their music store, and you look at their hit list.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. It's absolutely, totally insane. And then you click on these bands in the hit list, bands and artists in the hit list, and it goes to this, you know, like their band's page or their album's page.
Yeah.
And then they have comments, customer comments.
Oh, my God.
It was brutal. These are insanely hilarious. You just, if you ever want to have fun and find out what people are really thinking about these bands, just go into iTunes because it's all there.
Well, yes.
It's hilarious.
You guys heard about speaking of like internet marketing, you guys heard about the whole big Walmart Planet of the Apes controversy, didn't you?
No, what's that? What's that all about?
Oh, my God. This just happened about a week ago. Well, Walmart started an online buying community, and you know, like most of those things, when you buy something, they'll send you a list of like, oh, if you like this product, you'll like this and this and this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for about a week and a half, like every time you bought Planet of the Apes, the incredibly awful remake with Mark Wahlberg.
Yep.
Every time you would get that, you'd get your recommended hit list of stuff you might like, and guess what was on the hit list?
What's that?
For Planet of the Apes. The Martin Luther King biography.
Oh, my God!
A Tina Turner special.
No.
And a documentary about George Washington Carver.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, this
is bad. I was kidding about George Washington Carver.
Oh.
They did that for real?
They did it for real, and they got so jacked. But for some reason, they completely got away with it. Maybe it's because they employed half of the black people in America.
Was it Uma Thurman who played the one ape lady, the science ape lady?
Oh my God, the one that Mark Wahlberg wanted to kiss more than the hot chick.
I think that was her.
Dude, that was the best scene. He jumps out of the spaceship and like the hot chick is there and he like gives her the Heisman and then runs over to the monkey.
Well, all I can say is Uma, call me. I want to talk to Uma. That's all I want to do for, like...
You guys, we've been doing some weird stuff out here lately, and this is something that came to my attention. I'm just wondering if you guys are familiar with Oliver the Human Z.
Oliver the Human Z?
The Human Z. The Human Z. Like chimpanzee, except Human
Z. The Human Z.
You know,
You're not familiar with him.
I think I may have heard that.
It sounds familiar,
but I haven't really looked into it too much. What's it all about?
Well, you got to look into it. I'll just give you a quick background. Oliver was a chimp that came over from the Congo in the 60s. And as soon as he got, much like myself, and as soon as he got off, and if you're into Oliver, you might also enjoy the Martin Luther King stuff.
Oh, God! Oh, boy.
Okay, hold on.
By Aldous Huxley.
I'm messing around. Now, listen. Okay, Oliver was, okay, when he got off the boat, his handlers were immediately impressed by the fact that he did not walk like the other chimps. He walked completely upright, completely straight spine. He never knuckle-dragged. Beyond that, he didn't smell like the other chimps. All the other chimps shunned him. He had almost human-like features. His nose was articulated. He had lips. His ears, unlike a chimp or a human, were pointed, almost like a goblin or an orc or something.
You're describing Will.
Yeah, you're talking about our engineer, I think.
Yeah, that sounds like Will.
This thing, they were just like, they're like, where did it come from? It displayed remarkable intelligence. It could watch a human doing anything, and then it could do it. And it could do it just as well or better. And it became a celebrity. I keep calling it it. That's horrible. But Oliver became a celebrity during the 60s and the early 70s, and for a while they were just like, they did all these tests on him to try to figure out what the heck he was. And they came up with this thing, like humans have 47 chromosomes, chimpanzees have 49, Oliver had 48. So basically what Oliver was somebody humped a monkey and created a hybrid.
That's what it sounds like.
Apparently this has been done in captivity, though all the babies are euthanized. And even beyond this, Stalin was all about the monkey-human connection and was trying to breed an army of ape men to fight the Nazis in World War II.
Holy crap!
I'm totally serious. And you gotta, hey, I got two words for you. Google it.
We tell people to do that all the time on this show, Dave.
Google it, man. Google is the greatest. It's just go on there. It's really hard to find stuff about Oliver. But the kind of the cool thing about it, Oliver, like, he could never stay with any handler for very long because he was, like, inordinately attracted to the female human handlers. He would always be trying to, like, molest them. And apparently one day he actually raped this human woman. And, yeah, it was like, you should hear her testimony. It's horrible. She's like, I just came into the cage and suddenly he was behind me and it happened so fast. And that's where they brought the whole thing to a close. And so for 30 years, Oliver was just gone. They're like, they had to sell him because he was a human Z, or if you want to call it, a human rapist monkey.
Oh, my God.
And, and so they, like, let it go for 30 years, and then they tried to look him up again, and they found that he was in this research facility in Pennsylvania. So they went up there to find him. And they're like, Oliver's in that cage. Let's see if it's Oliver. And they opened the door, and this monkey came walking out fully upright, completely upright. And they're like, oh, my God, it's Oliver. We haven't seen him in 3 years. And he ran right up to that same handler, and he raped the hell out of him.
Oh, wow.
Jeez, oh, Pete. This is for
and
real?
I made up the rape part, just the second part about the rape.
This is for real.
All you guys are sitting there going, what the hell is going on right now? So I'm just going to let you ask a couple questions.
Well, no, that actually falls into an interesting field that we talk about on the show, and that's the field of cryptozoology.
Human.
The human.
Did you ever see Chud? Cannibalistic, human-like, or whatever, underground.
Yeah, cannibalistic, humanoid, underground dwellers.
That's it. Ooh.
Horrible movie. Terrible movie.
Terrible movie.
But, you know, entertaining when it's 3 in the morning on the tour bus. And the girl has choked on her own vomit.
Right.
God. That we talk about cryptozoology a lot. That's interesting. I want to look that up because, I mean, that's something we've talked. That would fall right into something we talk about on the show. And I know
In the last year or so, the world has been absolutely rife with episodes of bizarre creatures that have been found. Hogzilla, of course, is one of the first things that comes to mind. And then there was that gigantic blob of mush they found in Chile that they weren't sure what the hell it was, and they're still not exactly sure. And finally, one of the most interesting things, it's something that we've known that has been out there for a long time, but this, within the last year, was the first time they actually videotaped or photographed a giant squid.
Yep. Yeah.
And that, to me, is amazing. And that thing just came up from the depths like the Mind Flayer. You know, it's just like unbelievable that things are down there. They're like, you know,
I don't know,
2 or 3 miles long.
Well, yeah, those are the bottom-dwelling creatures. The giant squid, there is that one, that one story they talked about. I saw it on Discovery, actually. They're talking about the giant squid. And the gentleman, he dramatized it. They show the fisherman on the side of the boat, and it's nighttime, and he's walking along the side of the boat, and he's like, I just look to my right, and I see this giant eyeball. Just looking at me. He's like,
yeah, the size of a freaking manhole cover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, of course, the first thing he goes for is the harpoon because he wants to catch it, right? And he's like, I went to grab the harpoon. I come back, and it was gone. That's how fast those things are. The squid is...
You probably want to grab an RPG
rather
than a harpoon.
What do you think makes them want to leave the depths and come up here? I mean...
Hunger.
Well, I wonder if it's hunger or if it's like there's too many. Do you remember the styrofoam McDonald's containers?
Yeah, the whole
those
thing.
Are like down there and they're littering the floor of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's destroying their whole ecosystem.
Yeah.
And it's probably making it harder for them to eat, so they'll come up. And that will be woe to humanity because they'll learn how to drive cars and like invade us and like.
We'll be taken over by squid.
A giant squid could drive a car better than the people on M59 and Hall Road here in Michigan, I can tell you.
Oh, God, absolutely.
One of the reasons they know these creatures are so horrible is because they found like lots of dead ones, and something they'll find in their bellies a lot, they're cannibals, because they'll find the beaks of other dead ones in the fucking stomach of dead creatures. And these beaks, these things don't have jaws, they have beaks.
Their beaks
are like as big as a sofa. I mean, it's retarded.
their beaks are incredibly powerful, too.
Oh, tremendous. I mean, it's like two teeth, basically, hinged perfectly.
Yeah.
I wish I had a beak.
Well,
I don't know if they have lips to fit over a beak.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, the beak
if
itself...
I had a beak, my fingernails would be
it's
gone.
It's the same kind of beak that a bird... I mean, obviously, that's what birds have. They have beaks. It's the exact
Maybe
same...
Maybe Marilyn Manson has lips big enough to fit over.
I tell you what, let me take a quick break here, because this is...
Yeah, thank God, I need to be slathered by my pet woolly mammoth.
Let's take a quick break here, though. Dave, we have Dave Rocky, slash... Odorous Urungus from Guar on right now. Again, thank you for coming on the show, Dave. We're having a riot. This is
it's
totally
great. Cool. How much longer is it?
We got another half an hour here. Can you do that?
Oh, hell yeah.
Cool. All right. Let's take a quick break here.
For the bitter end.
All right.
We'll take a quick break here. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is Heidi Hollis from AlienAdvice.com, and you're listening to the Hot Boy That Ghostly Talks. Willis from ghostsofohio.org, specializing in backward masking, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
We're back.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
We
are just getting ready to play Lord of the Rings Monopoly.
All right. It sounds like you're.
Where I am.
We want to take you on a ghost hunt if you're ever in the Detroit area.
Definitely, we want to take you out ghost hunting one night, Dave. If you're around
here. What, are you guys looking for the ghost of the Detroit Lions?
Oh wow!
Hey, they just hired a new coach.
Yeah. Oh, I heard that interview.
You guys need to get George Plimpton back. Maybe he can help you out a little bit.
Well, you know, they never even. The thing is, this fellow has never even coached. He was like a, I don't know, a coach, a tackle coach,
defensive
or something.
Coordinator.
Defensive coordinator thing.
Whatever that is.
You guys have had enough bad luck trying to hire coaches that actually were coaches. So maybe this is the right thing to do.
I guess they just gave up.
I think they did.
I think that the Lions' big mistake was building the big indoor stadium.
Yes. Yes.
Part of the integrity of those Midwest, Northern, what Midwest teams is them playing outside. The Bears, mm-hmm. You know, the Packers.
Yeah.
I think the Vikings play indoors now, don't they?
I believe so. Do they play inside?
That's why they suck.
That's why they're not in the Super Bowl.
What do you have a piece of paper there, Doug? What is that piece of paper? Really?
Somebody actually sent W Paranormal, you know, the show out in
the
side of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
They sent them a list of questions for Dave.
Okay.
But I got a hold of the – I got a copy of it.
Yeah.
They want to know and this I thought was hilarious. Odorous, do you enjoy Pabst Blue Ribbon?
No, it's swill. It's absolutely indicative of how crappy American beer really is. You know, the only thing good about Pabst is that it's $2 a six-pack, but even that, I mean, they should pay you $2 a six-pack for doing that. The point of that beer is horse piss is to give it a compliment. I don't care how broke you are. I don't care what a scum, punk, gutter-dwelling, crispy critter you are. Pabst Blue Ribbon is
beep, beep, beep.
Okay, so yeah. I take it you don't like it. Okay, let's move on.
No, I love it, but no, it's horrible. I just want to blow up any American out there who thinks that Americans know how to make beer better than people from Europe. You don't.
All right, we got another question here, apparently. Let's get this one.
What advice do you have for a girl wanting to be, and this isn't me, this is from the thing, because I'm not a girl.
I can be a girl.
You could try. Well, yeah, you are every year at Halloween.
Yeah, there you go.
What
yeah.
advice do you have for a girl wanting to be the next Slimenstra?
Somehow figure out a way to make the menstrual cycle run backwards.
Okay. Interesting.
Okay.
All right.
Well, there it is. It just takes a little couple of years in the lab.
Plus, completely hot stripper bitch.
Oh, okay.
All right.
A couple of years in the lab and on the pole, and there you go.
A little bit of plastic surgery, you can be in Guar. Okay.
We've been having blowjob auditions for Slimenstra replacement every night, as long as I can remember, and, you know, so far it really hasn't worked out. It's worked in. Not out.
Oh, my God. I think we're done now.
I have a feeling Robin Valley Community Radio has pulled the plug.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right.
Hey, I don't care.
What, is there any other questions on there?
Well, there is. There's one that I don't understand. But
two
maybe...
questions is not a bunch of questions. There's got to be more.
There's more.
It's obvious. All right. It's obvious Philly is the greatest city ever and are known for many things. One of the most
important... Wait a minute. What city?
Philly.
Philadelphia.
Philly.
Philadelphia. Yeah, whatever.
Hold on a sec. Philadelphia, the greatest city ever?
Philly, I think. What is it? What is? I don't
okay, know. Before I tear Philly a new one.
Well, that's what Kelly's. Oh, by the way, these questions are all from Kelly Nutbrock.
So. You put her name on there?
Why not?
Okay, that's cool. All right. Philly's the greatest
city.
She
took the time to send these not to us, but to someone else. So I figure might as well.
Well, Philly is
just... I'm not going to share Philly a new one because actually I do love Philly, and Philly is one. And I'm not just kissing ass. Philly is one of the coolest cities in the United States. I just hate the Eagles, that's all. I know this is a paranormal show, not a sports show. I'm just a dumb male.
Well, we talk about everything.
We talk about everything. That's cool.
Even
okay, cool. We're all good.
Even
Philly,
cheese.
I love Philly. I love your cheesesteaks. What's up?
Geno's or Pat's cheesesteaks? Have you ever had either?
I've had a Pabst cheesesteak.
No, Pat. P-A-T. Pat's. Evidently, there's
I've had all the cheesesteaks in Philly, and honestly, I've never seen people get so up in arms about a sandwich.
I've never had one. I love them.
I think they're awesome.
Oh, yeah,
Philly cheesesteaks are great. You only really get them the right way when you're in Philly. They're basically just a whole bunch of fried meat, and then they put, like, Cheese Whiz on it.
Right.
It's a big, horrible cholesterol roll. Mm. And everywhere else you go in the United States, they say they have a Philly cheesesteak, but it's completely not what a Philly cheesesteak is all about.
Right.
But when you get to Philly, it gets even more confusing. Because everyone's like, oh, no, the best cheesesteak's over here. And, oh, the best cheesesteak's over here. And then it's like, why are you talking like you're from New York? You're not. You're
Well, here we've got the competing hot
what
dog.
What have you got in Detroit as far as culinary experiences that can compete with a Philly cheesesteak?
The hot dog.
Fried bum.
Fried bum.
What?
Fried bum. Fried gutter bum. It's really great. It's a delicacy in this city. We love it. It's great.
Cool. Buddy's Pizza.
We have Coney Islands. We have the two competing Coney Islands, National and American.
That's right. You do have the Coney Island, which is a weird thing because Coney Island is 1,000 miles away from Detroit. But what is that anyway?
Well, and what's interesting is around here, it's not necessarily an American thing. I believe it's a Greek.
It's
tradition.
It's a Greek tradition here. Yeah, yeah.
Which is interesting.
I don't even know.
Has Guar ever played in Greece? I'm just curious. Do you guys ever play in Greece?
No.
You never played Greece?
No, we never got as far as Greece. The furthest we've ever got in Europe is Slovenia.
Slovenia?
But we never got to Greece
Slovenia.
Before.
Enjoy Guar.
The people in Europe are very, especially in Greece, from what I gather, they're very serious about their metal. And they really still don't know what to make of Guar. And, you know, we're a metal band, but at the same time, we make fun of everything, including metal. So... And that puts the typical metal fan in a kind of a conundrum because they generally aren't too bright. Or at least they haven't, I don't want to insult the intelligence of the metal community, but generally they're not too bright.
Yeah.
And, you know, when something involves any kind of subtleness or like humor versus a serious social statement, satire, parody, irony, things like that, completely lost. They just want to see the butt cannon spewing shit in their face.
Of course.
I've seen that. Well, I've actually had it happen.
Bile driver, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bile driver. I've actually had that happen to me.
Really?
I've seen Guar 7 times, okay? I've seen your band 7 times, Dale, I got to tell you. And I mean, it's never... I have 7 pink shirts to prove it also. You always wear the white T-shirt to the Guar show. And you come...
We're really stoked, and I've got to tell you, cities like Detroit and to Philadelphia and... a lot of other places in the States. I mean, if I could, like, wax maudlin for a moment, we couldn't have done this incredible, crazy thing called Guar without the support of all these really weird people out there that just love Guar to death.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's become like a Frankenstein monster. We can't stop. Guar has assumed an identity out of all proportion to our own lives. And it's like a big, bloody monster, and we have to try to control it now, because if we stop doing it, it would just continue with a life of its own, and then who knows what happens. It might become Christian.
No, but
ooh, hey,
that
would happens a lot. That would
be horrible. We can't let that happen to Guar.
That happens a lot.
So places like Detroit and Philly and a million more. Guar rolls on to a savage dawn, and don't worry, kids. We're going to keep doing it. I mean, we are the last bastion of sickness. I mean, we set the bar as far as musical and artistic rebellion. And, you know, you better not step to Guar with any kind of half-assed commercial bullshit like Slipknot, you know, because we're going to tear you up.
Well, you know.
And what we do is really dangerous. It's really horrible. And it's really pointed, and it's very much alive. It's not going to go away.
Mm.
It's going to last longer than our lives. And, you know, we have nothing left in our minds and the complete destruction of the entire planet, or just at least the way that people think, you know, and because we're fed up with it all. And Gwar is our rebellion. Gwar is our war. Gwar is our weapon, and we'll never put it down.
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, when Marilyn Manson came out, oh, boy, this is going to get ugly. But when Marilyn Manson came out, what? How many years ago? 6, 7, 8 years ago or something like that.
I'll be pushing 10 now.
It's almost
He's been around for a while. In fact, we watched Manson's career come up.
Mm-hmm.
We heard about him a lot, and all of a sudden he was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we were kind of jealous and pissed off about it. We were like, God damn it, you know, this guy, we've been doing this kind of show kind of crazy, heavy show forever. And, you know, we're not selling 8 million records, and this guy is. But the more I got into Manson or just listened to him, you know, he's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to go any further than Michael Moore's documentary, Bulk of Columbine.
Mm-hmm.
Marilyn Manson said absolutely the most genius thing ever. The most genius thing there. He said the smartest thing ever. They're like, what would you say to those guys in Columbine that killed all those kids? And Marilyn says, I wouldn't say anything to them. I would listen because that's what probably never happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, I used to rag on Marilyn Manson a lot. But
mm-hmm.
I have actually a lot of respect for that guy. I think he's a very, very talented artist, and I think he's an amazing producer. And I hope he doesn't rest on his laurels and his millions in his Hollywood mansion, and he gets out there and he continues to kick ass, even though he's not really performing so much anymore. I don't think he really is at all. He's more of a producer now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He is still a very powerful figure in the counterculture, and I'm not so stupid that I don't realize that.
Well, the thing is with Marilyn Manson, when he came out, you know, everybody was like, oh, my God, Shock Rock. This is the most amazing show I've ever seen. I kept telling people, I'm like, wait a minute, man. Gwar was doing that like 12, 13, 14 years ago. They were doing it. Why haven't you seen Gwar yet, right? And that's what I kept saying to people.
Slipknot went through the same thing. I know there's probably a lot of Slipknot fans listening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but for me, the difference between a band like Marilyn Manson and Slipknot is Marilyn Manson actually had some intellectual content behind his music, whereas
mm-hmm.
Slipknot, to me, is just anger and showbiz for the sake of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, we're so aggro, we're so mad, we're going to make you songs. But, like, why are you mad? Why are you doing it? Why are you acting it out? What's the point? To me, it just doesn't hold any water. And, you know, something like Gwar, you know, finally Corey Taylor, like, said something in print about Gwar or whatever. What is his name? What's his name?
Is it Corey Taylor? That's the singer.
We ripped him a new one, and it's just like, I don't know. If you're going to come to Gwar and you're going to, like, talk shit about Gwar, you better have your wagons in the circle, man, because I'm going to bring it. And everything, you know, it's like we have an over 20-year career now in this business, and no one has ever done anything except talk about how horrible we were, except our fans. We've never had the support of the industry. We've never had the support of radio. You know, we've never had anything except our own swords and nails and tooth and claw. And
mm-hmm.
for that to me is more important than anything. It should be an example to everyone out there that you do not have to give in. You can stick to your guns and you can make art and music the way that you feel it should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can tell the rest of the world to go kiss your ass.
Well, I've been saying that about Gwar too since I heard about you guys when I was in junior high school. You know, I look back.
Inspired. I know Gwar because I've talked to him a million times.
Gwar
has inspired kids to do things with their lives that they never would, just the same way that Alice Cooper, you know, inspired me,
mm-hmm.
and the same way the Sex Pistols inspired me, and the same way the Black Flag inspired me when I was a kid. And that, to me, is way more important than any kind of commercial success.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of bands, they get real rich, they get real famous, and then, like, they'll roll along for a few years, and then it's over. Gwar is not like that. Gwar is a cultural phenomena
mm-hmm.
that continues to grow and evolve, and I really think it will outlive us.
Well, musically speaking, though, Gwar, the band Gwar, like I was saying, I look back now. I mean, I listen to your stuff all the time still, and I look back at a band, like an album like Scum Dogs of the Universe, right? I look back on that album, and I listen to it now, which is what, geez, like 15, 16 years later, and I listened to what you guys were doing back then as opposed to all the other bands that were around that were, you know, they were, well, on Metal Blade, let's say. They were on that label, right? And I listened to that album, and then I listened to what's going on today, and you guys were doing that 15 years ago as far as...
Yeah, well, Gwar will never get respect for its music beyond our fan base because what we do is so crazy. I mean, it's like the visual side of Gwar is so overwhelming that it's difficult to give the music enough attention.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like a casual observer it's difficult to really give the music credit.
Mm-hmm.
More schooled disciples of metal and hard music in general understand that, you know, in addition to the incredible stage show, GWAR has got the musical mustard to pass the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
GWAR was, and that is the biggest criticism that we get, and, you know, the one, oh, GWAR's just a show, the music is crap, or whatever. It's like, crap is always in the eye of the beholder, and I wouldn't do something for 20 years if I thought it was crap. And we just, you know, the one downside of it is like, God, you hear shit all the time, y'all constantly having to, like, legitimize yourself. And there's even been periods through GWAR's development that maybe we even believed our critics or fought against what they were saying so hard that it took us away from what we really wanted to do. But now I finally feel that GWAR has passed through all the tribulations of youth. Like, most bands' youth is like 1 or 2 years. I really believe GWAR's youth has been the first 20 years.
Absolutely.
How many bands get 20 years to perfect their act, you know? And
mm-hmm.
it's just like, Kiss is still, and I'm sorry, Kiss is incredibly lame. It's pathetic. I mean, come on, how many reunion tours do we have to stomach?
Well, I'm a Kiss fan, and I agree with you on that. I'm getting tired of all these reunions.
I was a Kiss fan forever. I love Kiss. Kiss inspired me. Kiss is great. Kiss is not an idea that can evolve and appeal to intelligent people and do something for, dare I say it, the revolution of thought that has to envelop this world to take us to the next level. Kiss can't do that. Kiss is like some kind of sideshow spectacle, and obviously Kiss is all about the money. And to me, it makes me mad. It makes me mad when bands and people legitimize their existences by how much money they make. To me, that is everything that is evil about art and music, and it's everything GWAR will never stand for. When I have targets like that, then, and I always will, you know, I will never grow tired of sinking my teeth into them.
Mm-hmm. And that's the truth right there. I mean,
okay,
wait a minute.
That's three things.
What's that?
I talked about hot dogs, right?
Okay.
Then he said cutting the mustard, right?
Okay.
And then now sinking his teeth into it. Okay, I have to mention that.
This Come on, guys. I'm not going to smear mustard on my genitals and ask you to suck my dick.
No. We were in the beautiful city of, I believe, near Huntington, West Virginia. We were in a little city. I don't remember.
Oh, what a bark bag. God, if ever miners deserve to die.
There was nothing there. We went to an even smaller city, population 3, and we found this place called Hillbilly Hot Dogs.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Have you ever had any, like, because as you're touring, I'm sure you've had some pretty bad
cuisine.
Do you
go out of our way to find local cuisine? I love to eat bizarre, weird things, and I've never had a hillbilly hot dog. In fact, I've never even had a mountain oyster.
Well, if you ever get a chance to have a hillbilly hot dog.
What is it?
It's a deep-fried hot dog.
It's a deep-fried hot dog, yeah.
Oh, I'd do that. Hell yeah.
I mean, the thing, you have to understand.
You walk up to this bus.
It's
two buses attached to what used to be an outhouse, I think.
Yeah.
And it's covered in graffiti.
Yeah.
Everything. If there's a rock outside, it's covered in graffiti. If there's a tree, it's covered in graffiti. If there's a bus, it's covered in graffiti. Everything is covered in graffiti. And
hell, half the employees were written on, too.
Yeah, they actually spray paint the employees, too.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I would be cool with that. Just don't, please, don't give me any pickled anus.
I think that was on page 3 of the...
I think that was, yeah, that was actually on the menu. Because, I mean, yeah, as far as the, how would you say, the environment, the mood, it was not there.
there
was no mood. It was just this place, this little corner of the earth.
Population 3.
That was just, it had...
Ma, Pa, and Cousin Jeb.
Yeah. And they're all really...
That's awesome.
I mean,
and the food was good.
How do you define good? I mean,
it was good for what you'd expect.
It tasted good going down. The rest of the week, dude,
food
I was...
always tastes better in proportion to how hungry you are.
Well, that's true.
That's why, when we were just starting GWAR, and we had no money for food, and we were on tour in an old school bus,
mm-hmm.
and we were driving from, like, L.A. to, like, Lawrence, Kansas, and we had no money, and we had, like, $8 for gas, and, like, I was driving, and I spent $7.50 on gas and bought a package of corn nuts with the remaining 50 cents, and then ran behind the dumpster and ate them all by myself. And I swear I was consumed with guilt for years.
Wow.
I don't think the rest of the guys would have been very happy about that.
I waited about 10 years till I told them. I was like, oh, do you remember that time we were driving to Lawrence for like 3 days straight? We had no food.
Mm-hmm.
I ate a bag of corn nuts and I didn't share.
Oh my God.
I just confessed. Please, Juan, don't kill me.
Have you ever heard, in your travels or in your childhood, have you ever heard of any stories of hauntings? Like ghosts?
Sure.
Did you ever check any out?
Because
one of the things, here's where I'm coming from. One of the things that they do up north of here is places become legendary, right?
Mm.
Like Morrill Road and things like that. There's places, or there's bridges even, there's, I don't remember the name of the bridge now, but there's bridges that become famous. You're supposed to go do this experiment, like honk three times, and then a ghost will come in and get you or whatever.
Mm.
A lot of people, and I'm sure a lot of fans, GWAR fans, have done this,
oh, yeah.
But they don't own up to it, right? Because it's kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
They go out and they check it out, and they try these things. And have you heard of anything or actually done any of these silly little experiments?
Well, I've heard of a lot of them, and I even have checked a few out. And the only time that I've ever been involved with something like that where it really freaked me out, and no, I'm not setting you up for some horrible odorous joke. it's this place down in New Mexico. These guys come see us all the time down there, and it kind of ties in with the whole Chupacabra thing.
Mm-hmm.
These guys swear up and down that there's this whole section of the desert that you just don't go to. And it's apparently haunted by or lurked by this race of winged, blood-sucking creatures that will not only eat your livestock, if they can get your kid, they'll do that too.
Oh, my God.
And I wanted to go out to this place, and they wouldn't take me out there. And one of the reasons that I believe what they were saying is because they were Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been a part of the planet. They've been part of the North America. They've been part of that earth for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Mm.
And these stories have been passed down from their forefathers. And I could tell when I was talking to these guys that they weren't bullshitting. They weren't mimicking something that someone had said to them.
Mm.
They were really afraid. And they wanted to tell me about it, but they didn't want to take me out there.
That's a pretty powerful thing. I mean, because
it chilled me. It really chilled me, and it really did.
That's actually probably more powerful than going
guys,
out.
I still see them to this day. They always come see GWAR. I always ask them about it, and they grow ashen-faced, and they want to change the subject.
Oh, my God. We've talked to a gentleman on the show here about the thing, what they were called the skinwalkers.
Skinwalkers.
The skinwalkers in Arizona, and that's an Indian thing also. I believe it's the Navajo Indians that are down there. And those are supposed to, it's a part of black magic apparently that these people, these skinwalkers, they're entities of some sort. And if you can stick a skinwalker on somebody,
To get even with them
down there. And that's what they do in a lot of these areas, they say. And they, according to these people, it's a very real thing. And you can get nailed by a skinwalker if you don't watch yourself in that area down there in Arizona. So, I mean,
well, as much as I'm respectful of skinwalkers and chupacabras and rabid Bigfoots, I think the capacity for the human race to heap horror and suffering upon each other far outweighs that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
We were recently reminded here in Richmond, Virginia of this. I live in Richmond, Virginia. It's a pretty quiet city that for some reason is just engulfed in crack wars and homicides. And on New Year's Day, we were completely horrified to find out that a family down the street, 6 blocks from where I live, in one of the best neighborhoods in Richmond,
mm-hmm.
had been completely butchered in their basement. This has been on the news nationwide for the last few weeks. There was the Brian Harvey family, which have been members of our community and friends of ours for many, many years. And the whole family was found bound and gagged with their throat slit
in their
basement of their burning house on New Year's Day. And just, you know,
stuff
like that, it reminds me, you know, just how sick people are and how far we have to go to heal the hatred of our time and how bad it is that we still, I mean, the basic tenets of human civilization, they try to tell us that religion lays down these Ten Commandments of how not to act, except unless we need to kill you. Now, our state still sanctions mass murder. We're still advocating the death penalty. I don't say that I have the solution, but I know that it's wrong. And to me, it makes GWAR more important than ever. I mean, GWAR is all about the dark side of humanity and why it's so appealing.
Mm.
And until we accept, you know, our yin and our yang, you know, this we're going to be in a state of murderous conflict. And that makes for interesting times.
Very interesting times. Unfortunately. God, you know, I could sit here for days and talk with
hey, them. I want to come back. Next time you guys want to do it, let's make it happen. I'm
yeah, no, right. For sure, Dave. Thanks again for coming on the show and talking to us for a while, man. It's really cool of you.
Yeah, I get a lot of interview requests, but when I was checking out your show, I was like, this is cool. I want to do this. So.
Cool.
Thanks, Dave. So much.
All right, well, why don't we take a quick break here? Jeez. We got Bill Nell coming on.
Bill Nell. Oh, this is a good guy, Dave. If you ever get a chance to listen to any Ghostly Talks, you'll want to grab the Bill Nell interviews. So we did one last year, mm-hmm. and evidently we're going to do one now.
Yeah.
this fellow, he investigates the...
Philadelphia Experiment.
Philadelphia Experiment, and then the mind...
Oh, very cool stuff.
And yeah. then the mind control experiments and time control experiments at Montauk.
Yeah,
which is
New York.
Just out on Long Island. Mm-hmm. So... This is
very
incredible.
Interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Dave, thanks.
Montauk, that was where all those shark attacks were, wasn't it?
In Montauk?
Yeah, like 1910. That was the inspiration behind Jaws.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true.
You're right. I never even thought about that.
I wonder if there's some kind of bizarre connection.
I don't know.
That's interesting. That's, I wonder when they were...
We're going to have to ask him about that.
Extraterrestrial great white sharks with lasers on their heads.
Beaming.
Hi, guys. I'm out. I will be listening to your show. I am now a devotee. And please, have me again. I'd love to come back.
Thanks so much.
Thanks again, Dave. We'll talk to you soon.
Hail GWAR.
Hail GWAR.
Hail GWAR. See you later, Dave. Oh, man.
That was absolutely amazing.
Oh, my
absolutely
God.
Amazing.
I'm exhausted. How are we going to do 2 more hours with Bill now?
Hey, I can talk with, just like you can talk, and I can talk with Dave for hours.
Oh, that's
absolutely fascinating.
Very cool guy.
But Dave, Bill now,
yeah.
I think I could talk to him for weeks on end.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's back in the paranormal community. We'll have to ask him about
that. We got 2 hours with Bill now coming up after this.